Hello, and welcome to the New Hope Church podcast. Whether you are a member of our church family, either in person or online, or just checking us out for the first time, we believe that you belong here at New Hope Church, and we hope that this message speaks to you today. Don't forget to check us out online at newhopechurch.tv, and we'd love to connect with you on social media at New Hope Church TV. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
All right, welcome to New Hope, man. It is great to be with you guys today. Man, if you don't know, my name is Jeremy. I have an absolute privilege of being the 288 campus pastor. So with that in mind, I want to welcome in the Friendswood campus. I get winded when I have to list all these campuses. God just continues to grow. The Alvin campus, the Webster campus, the Pearland campus, our online campus, our friends at Webo Bible Church in Webo, Montana. And I haven't checked today. But I have a feeling it's probably a little cooler in Webo than it is in Houston, Texas. We're not jealous at all of your 20s or whatever you're in today. Right off the top, let me just remind you guys, we're in the middle of our year-end giving season. So we've got a bunch of community partners we work with who share the gospel in some unique and creative ways. We've got Faith Comes By Hearing and Youth for Christ and several of them. I want to highlight one of them today, though. Sanctuary Foster Care Services. This is a Christian Bible-based foster care system that works with CPS and some others. And their whole goal is just to wrap around these kids and these families that are in some of the worst moments of their life and show them the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus. So this is a new one for us. I wanted you guys to be aware of it. Again, every single dollar you give to Year End Giving goes right to them, right to those partners. So if you can give cheerfully, because God loves a cheerful giver, if you can give cheerfully, you can go right to the giving page. You can choose year-end giving on the drop-down. We would love to have you guys be a part of that. Okay, we're in week two of Down to Earth Christmas. Last week, I want to just kind of review for a moment. We were reminded that when you love someone, you want to spend time with them. You have to spend time with them. You go out of your way. You rearrange your schedule to spend time with them. And because he loves us, Jesus came down to earth. He wanted to spend time with us. He came down to earth to spend time with us. And we kind of centered around this verse last week. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we're going to jump in and see some more scriptural down to earth moments. But before we get too far in today, can I pray for us? Is it all right if we pray in church? Okay, if you're not sure, you just keep your eyes open. The rest of us are going to pray, okay? Lord, thank you for your word, man. Thank you for the chance that we have just to spend some time in it. May our time preparing our hearts as we sang, Lord, may get us ready for what you want to say to us today. Lord, we're so thankful that you looked at us and you came down to earth to be with us. God, thank you for that. Just speak to us today well, and may we leave whatever campus we're at today looking more like you and less like us. In your name we pray, amen. All right, thank you for those that joined me in that. The rest of you will have prayer partners up here at the very end, and they will take care of you from there. Okay, so we're settled on the fact that Jesus came down to earth. But then what? Like, he was here for 33 years. Like, what did he do while he was here? At the risk of sounding less than reverent today, I want to tell you that most of what he did would have been considered normal, mundane, everyday, repetitive kind of activities. He spent a lot of time talking with people, going to events, praying with the people, praying for the people that are around him, and expressing and engaging in my favorite love language. You know what my favorite love language is? Eating, okay? Food is my love language. So he spent a lot of time eating with people that were his friends, people that were just curious about this incredibly different man than they'd ever seen before. And so we're going to look at some moments of him eating today, mostly around tables, usually figuratively or literally, sometimes figuratively. But you probably already know that you can eat your meals in a lot of places, okay? You have probably made the choice in your life to eat a meal or two on your couch. If this guy is with us today, I'm sorry. This was just the first image that popped up. This is nothing personal. However, you cannot be happy about the fact that this is the image. So you can eat on your couch. You can eat in your bed, and you've done this as well. I know you have. So you can eat on your in your bed. But there's something about just sitting at a nice table, sitting at a nice restaurant, and sharing a meal around a table. It just gives a whole different feel, doesn't it? I can remember distinctly sitting around a table that belonged to my grandma and grandpa in Perryville, Missouri, okay? If you know where that is, kudos to you. And for the first time in my life, I was served grandma's homemade chicken and dumplings, okay? They were better than whatever you're thinking right now. There is no phrase in the language of Texas that is adequate to express how good grandma's homemade chicken and dumplings are. There's no word in Texas. My Louisiana friends have developed a phrase that will tell you how good it was. They will tell you it was so good it makes you wanna slap your mama. Don't. But they were that good. I mean, that's how good they were. They were good enough that if I was predisposed to slap my mama, I would have slapped my mama. It was around a table that looked like this. You may have a table like this in your childhood memories. White formica, the metal, silver legs that no matter what you did, it always had a little shimmy to it. Like you'd put paper under one leg and that didn't fix it. It always had a little bit of shimmy to it. So it was around this table I first had grandma's homemade chicken and dumplings. I also had for the first time in my life coffee cake that was better than any coffee cake that I've ever had in my life to this day, okay? And so now, anytime anybody in my family is within about a day's drive of Perryville, Missouri, I beg, plead, and threaten them somewhere in that area to swing by. It's just a day's drive. Just go out of the way for a day. Bring me some of this incredibly good coffee cake. But it was ultimately around this table that my grandma and grandpa raised 12 kids, 12. Fed them every single day, three times a day. Neighborhood kids would wander in. They'd feed whoever would wander up the streets as well. Grandkids sat around this table and ate. Great-grandkids sat around this table and ate. That table impacted generations. But mostly that table was a place where people just ate three normal meals every day. Most meals were not homemade chicken and dumplings and incredibly good coffee cake. Most of the meals were just normal, mundane, everyday meals. Not that I would ever say to my grandma that food was normal or mundane or everyday. I don't recommend that at all, but that's what most of the meals were. That's actually what Jesus did most of the time that he was on earth, what we would call normal, mundane, everyday things. They talked to friends. He went to events. He prayed with people, and he ate meals regularly. And every now and then, in the middle of the normal, the mundane, and the repetitive, not only did Jesus come down to earth, but heaven came down to earth in those conversations and showed up in an incredible way. Some of Jesus' meals were interrupted by what I would like to term some undeniable miracles, okay? Just so you know, not every miracle requires that, like, the heavens roll back, the clouds part, and the booming voice of Charlton Heston that shakes the foundations of the earth. Not every miracle requires that. In fact, I would say to you today that most of the miracles that we experience in our life are pretty quiet, under the radar, often missed by ourselves and by the people around us, but they're undeniably miraculous. We're gonna look at a couple of them today that are undeniable miracles that happened when Jesus was sharing a meal and was interrupted by something that was going on. So the first one is in the Gospel of Luke. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Now let me just pause here. Who likes to be carefully watched while they eat? That is one of the most unnerving feelings in the world. Okay, so that's where Jesus was, being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. And Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, Jesus healed him, and then he sent him on his way. So this was a pretty low-key, nonchalant miracle. This guy had some kind of swelling in his body that people would have noticed. It was obvious and evident. And he comes into this meal that Jesus is sharing while being closely watched while he ate. And Jesus reaches over and just lays his hand on this guy and heals him. And the guy leaves. So coming into the house, he would have looked one way, and going out, he would have looked incredibly different. It would have been obvious to the people around him that something had happened to him. His friends would have noticed it. His family would have noticed it. Somebody probably called him and asked if he wanted to do a multi-level marketing on this new miraculous weight loss program that he came up with. It was noticeable, and it was instant. And if we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest with our own history, you and I have probably had a moment in our life where something like that happened, where it was just instant. We've probably experienced Jesus coming down to earth and interrupting our day-to-day, normal, everyday, repetitive life. And he does something that is noticeably miraculous. And you and I are different because of the moment, because of what Jesus has done in us in that moment. That's an undeniable miracle. But let's look at another biblical example of an undeniable miracle. As evening approached, I should give you the backstory on this, okay, just so we're all on the same page here. This is Jesus teaching in front of thousands and thousands of people at this point. So that's kind of what's going on. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. So this is an interesting moment. For some reason, we don't really know why, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Hey, listen, it's getting late. We don't want to be responsible for all of their food. There's thousands of them. Send them away to the villages." So there's already a solution built into the problem. And Jesus says, "No. I want you to feed them." And the disciples, as they did on a regular basis, thought he was crazy because they responded to him and said, "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves, and then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Two totally different stories about Jesus doing an undeniable miracle around a meal. The first one was instant. The second one took some time. Listen, it takes time to pass out food to thousands and thousands of people, okay? So picture yourself in this church service. You're with me, you're sitting on the back row, because that's where the good Baptists sit, on the back row. You're watching some kind of miracle happen on the front row. They're passing food, and it doesn't seem to be going away. In fact, it seems to be getting more and more, and then it comes row by row, it's starting to come closer and closer to you. And it's heading your direction, and you're watching, and you're thinking, at some point, the miracle of food is going to run out. But with each row that passes, each time it gets closer and closer to you, you begin to recognize more and more that this is an undeniable miracle. This is a moment where God comes down to earth to step into the world. Sometimes the miracle that you need in your life, God will provide instantly. Sometimes it takes a while, a long while, and you have to wait and be patient, which we're not good at. But listen, neither one is more or less miraculous. The fish and the bread on the front row is just as miraculous as the fish and the bread on the back row with you and me watching it happen. If God broke into your life 12 years ago and broke an addiction that you've been fighting, and in a moment, in an instant, you never had to fight that addiction again, that is miraculous. If you've put in 12 years of work on this addiction, and you've gone to the meetings, and you've met with the people you need to meet with, and you've prayed, and you've been sober for 6 months now, listen to me, that's just as miraculous. It doesn't matter whether it's instant or it takes time. Our pastoral care team, from time to time, facilitates what we call corner groups. These are groups that where we as a church say, "Hey, when you're going through some of the toughest moments of your life, we are in your corner." And these groups are centered around some very common areas where people need the miraculous to show up. Divorce care, grief share, financial peace, and trauma recovery. And every single week in these small groups, people sit together and they pray, they read the Bible, and they pray with each other, and they consistently get to watch God provide undeniable miracles. If you've gone through a divorce and you go to divorce care, and the first week of that small group meeting, you get set free and healed from whatever the divorce did to you, that's miraculous. If you go all the way through divorce care and it takes 3 or 4 years down the road, but you find that same freedom and that same healing, it's just as miraculous. Sometimes the undeniable miracle happens right away. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it just takes time. Either way, it is undeniably miraculous. It is an undeniable miracle. And these undeniable miracles are blessings from God. So when Emmanuel, God with us, breaks into our mundane, normal, everyday life and provides in a miraculous way, listen, that is a blessing from God. So this Christmas season, with 21 shopping days left or whatever it is, Let me encourage you. Get some people that you love. Sit around a table with them. Share a meal. It could be pizza. It doesn't matter. We share a lot of pizza at New Hope. But take a few moments with them and talk through these undeniable miracles that are present in your life this year. As the old song goes, count your blessings. Just count them. For me this year, one of them is that a few weekends ago, I got to wrap my arms around my mom's neck and hug her and tell her that I love her. Now, that's miraculous for one reason, because back in 2010, she was diagnosed with stage 3 aggressive cancer. And the doctors told her the chances of her being alive in 5 years were almost zero. The chance of her being alive in 13 years didn't even count. But she's still alive and as ornery as she ever has been. She has not lately threatened to take me out of this world, but that has been a consistent theme of her life. She went through everything that cancer brings with it. Every biopsy, every surgery, every chemo treatment, every radiation, all of it. It was long, it was slow, it was painful, and it was a face-shaking process for her and the entire family. And I know that at any point God could have come down to earth and healed her instantly. But I also know that he healed her slowly over the course of several years. And so one Sunday night a few weeks ago, I got to wrap my arms around her, and I got to hug her, and I got to tell her I love her. And that's a blessing that I don't ever want to walk past. So this Christmas season, let me encourage you, find some friends, find some of your family, sit at a table with them and count those blessings. Name them one by one. They're undeniable miracles. They are evidence that God loves us, and because he loves us, he comes down to earth to show us that he loves us. But it's not just undeniable miracles that show up at the table when Jesus is eating with his friends. There's also this unbreakable friendship. Do you want to see an example in Scripture of an unbreakable friendship that tries to get broken several times and stays unbreakable? Because it is an encouragement to you and I that no matter what we've done, what we've gone through, that this friendship with Christ is unbreakable. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. And when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, the story goes on from there, but the important part is they were eating. They're back in my love language here, okay? And these aren't just regular 12 friends gathered around a table with Jesus. They thought they were like the in crowd. They thought they were everything that Jesus needed to be in friends. Psychologists tell us that we actually have 4 kinds of friends in our life on a regular basis. We have acquaintances. These are people you work with, you work out with. Maybe you see them, like you work with them and you see them at the grocery store and you have a hard time remembering where you know them from. They're kind of out of place, like seeing your second grade teacher somewhere, you know, you're like, oh, what's she doing here? So you know them, but you know their face, but you don't really know their story or their family or that kind of thing. Some of your acquaintances become your social friends. These are the ones that when you have an extra ticket to the Texans game, you call them and you say, do you want to go to the Texans game with me? Maybe you go to concerts with them. You go grab a meal with them from time to time. You know them. You know a little bit more about their story, but you're not like all the way in on their life. Some of your social friends become intimate friends. These are the ones that when life gets tough, you feel free to pick up a phone and call them or shoot them a text and say, man, give me some advice here. What's going on? How do I do this? My kids, my marriage, my job, whatever it is. Some of your social friends become intimate friends. And for the most part, they're trustworthy. And they're going to help you as much as they can. But sometimes you find out that when it becomes too inconvenient for them, they're just not all the way in. But some of your intimate friends become the epitome of friendship. Friends. These are the ones that you can call when you get a job promotion and the ones you can call when you get laid off. These are the ones that will celebrate with you, that will weep tears with you. These are the ones where you can let your walls down and take your mask off and you can truly be yourself. They're stable, which eliminates most of your friends right off the bat. The ones that are left, they're loyal to you. They're loyal to the relationship. And this is the kind of friends that everyone thought was around the table with Jesus on this last Passover. This is who they thought they were. But all of a sudden it got real dark. They're having this meal, everything's going well. And then Jesus says, you're all going to betray me. And not at some point in the future, not like 10 years from now. He says, tonight, Tonight, you're all going to betray me. And I love Peter. I love the story of Peter. He's one of the most interesting characters in Scripture. And so Peter is around this table. He's thinking that he's the epitome of friendship. There's nothing that can happen that would cause him to run away from Jesus. So Peter, in this moment, full of whatever Peter's full of in this moment, which he's full of a lot of stuff at a lot of different times, Jesus says, you're going to fall away. And Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Now, if you know how this part of the story goes, these are what we would term famous almost last words, full of conviction. I never will. You see, all these other guys around the table, Jesus, they might deny you, but not me. Never, not me, Jesus. And then within moments, Jesus is arrested and put on trial. Peter's hanging around near him at one point, and a servant girl recognizes Peter as one of Jesus' disciples and points him out as the guy who was with Jesus. And Peter goes from I never will to this moment in Scripture. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. So within moments, I never will becomes I never knew that guy. Given a chance, then again, moments later to correct his mistake, another servant girl sees him and says, I'm pretty sure you were with Jesus. And Peter, given a chance to correct his mistake, doubles down on it instead. The guy who swore he would never, ever deny knowing Jesus denies him a second time like this. He denied it again with an oath, I don't know the man. But the story doesn't even end there. A few moments later, there's a group of people kind of milling around outside, and one of them points at Peter and says, not I think, not I believe. He says, you certainly are one of his disciples. And Peter, being given a second chance, something that not all of us in life get, what did he do with his second chance? He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. You ever had a friend like Peter? You think and they think that you guys are going to be together no matter what, through the thickest and the thinnest. And then the heat gets too hot, something gets said, something gets done, something doesn't get done, and distance just begins to grow between you. And it hurts. They've hurt you. And you might be tempted to hurt them back. You might have hurt them back. Listen, Pastor Tim would probably take advantage of this moment to point out that that friend that has hurt you at all the wrong times is the Dallas Cowboys. It's that friend that lets you down at the most critical moments. They hurt you and you want to hurt them back. You want to deny that you ever knew them. You never had that jersey. You never wore that hoodie. You never put that flag outside your house. You never put that yard sign in your yard. Pastor Tim would probably take advantage of this moment to do exactly that. As a Cowboys fan, I would never do that. But they have hurt me at least once or twice. Listen, can I tell you that in Jesus Christ, one of the things that shows up at the table, one of the things that shows up around a meal with him is an unbreakable friendship. So Peter does all this stuff. He denies. How does Jesus handle the betrayal and hurt that Peter lays on him? Well, we're going to get to that in a moment, but spoiler alert, it's with an amazing amount of grace because that's what Jesus does. But how about you? How do you handle that hurt? Do you just let the distance happen and time passes and you decide at some point that maybe they're just not worth it as a friend? Listen, that's 100% natural. It's 100% natural for that to happen. But let me remind you today that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have access to the supernatural response. So if the distance, letting the distance happen is a natural response, what's the supernatural response? It's to restore, okay? And we're gonna take a look again in just a moment of how Jesus actually does the restoring process and just how he steps into our world. But for now, what if this is the year that God restores a relationship in your life that you think is dead and over? Too much time has passed, too many hurts, too much water under the bridge. What if this is the year that you let Jesus come down to earth in that relationship and you invite them to a table to share a meal? And maybe it's a literal table, but maybe it's just a figurative table. Maybe it's a phone call you make and you say to them, hey, I miss you in my life. I'm sorry I hurt you. When God shows up in our life and restores a relationship that we think is dead, that is an undeniable miracle around the table of Christ. Maybe, Maybe it's just writing them a letter that you never send them. Those are some of the most healing letters you will ever write in your life, right? You write it and then you burn it. But maybe it's inviting them to a table, literal table. Can I tell you that even when we sin, when we deny that Christ is in our life, we forget that he's present, and we say, no, I don't know him, I don't know him. That doesn't change who Jesus is around this table. Around this table, that friendship is unbreakable. And God can do the miraculous in us and through us. He offers us this year an unbreakable friendship. And there's one more thing that happens around the table. So there's this undeniable miracle, there's unbreakable friendship, and there's one more thing that happens. It's an unbelievable invitation. It's linked to the first two, okay? It's one of those invitations that when you get it in the mail, you double check to make sure it's for you. You look at it, you open it, you look at the name again, and you say, you're inviting me to a free, no obligation steak dinner to discuss my financial future? I don't think this was for me. Like, I didn't do anything to earn this. I certainly wasn't expecting this kind of an invitation. It's not that invitation, but it's that kind of invitation that Jesus offers to us around the table. And listen, when he offers you an unbelievable invitation around his table, he will change your life. Let's take a look at scripture. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, you see the recurring theme of the love language of eating in these stories. Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table, and a woman in that town who lived a, what kind of life was she living? Anybody ever lived a sinful life? Now the scriptures are talking to us today. Learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a... Notice that in his world, she moved from sinful to a sinner. It went from what she was doing to who she was. And Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. I love this. Listen, you and I are not the sum of our worst moments and our worst sins and our worst mistakes. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this unbelievable invitation is to come to the table and find forgiveness, to find freedom from who you are. And let me say over you what Jesus said over her. Your sins are forgiven. That seemed like the right time to say amen. When you come to Christ, your sins are forgiven. There we go. Listen, if you've never put your faith in Christ, let this be the season that you do it. Let this be the moment that you do it. It's an unbelievable invitation. If the invitation was believable, it would not take any faith. It wouldn't take any faith to believe that Jesus came down to earth. Okay, we're gonna take one final glance at scripture this morning because it has all three elements present. It's got the miracle, it's got the friendship, and it's got the invitation, okay? So this is post-resurrection Jesus. The disciples, many of them were fishermen before they came to follow Christ, and Jesus, as far as they were concerned, is dead. And so when guys don't know what to do with their life and it's falling apart, they go fishing. So that's what the disciples did here, okay? Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? This next verse is gonna be the most depressing verse of your life if you've ever gone fishing and not caught anything. No, they answered. Don't you have any fish? No, we got nothing. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. So here's the miracle. These professional fishermen had spent all night fishing and had caught nothing. And with every single cast and every single pullback, nothing, nothing, nothing. And then some guy shows up on the shore and just says to him, hey, what have you caught? You got any fish? No. We've been here all night. We don't have anything. And Jesus says, have you thought about throwing your nets on the other side of them? Like that had not crossed their mind at least 100 times overnight. But they did. And all of a sudden, they could not even pull in the amount of fish that were in the net. So there's this undeniable miracle happening here. And then as soon as Simon Peter heard him, one of the other disciples say, it's the Lord. He wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped into the water. So Peter gets so excited. That's why I love Peter. He gets so excited that he leaves his buddies in the boat to take care of all the fish, this miracle haul of fish, and he jumps out of the boat into the water and starts running toward Jesus. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care what's going on with you this week. Running towards Jesus is always the right move. So through all the denial, all the hurt, all the abandonment, I told you we're going to see how Jesus continues this unbreakable friendship and how he offers this restoration. You know how he does it? He just shows up. And here today, he's showing up. That's how he does it. He shows up in your world, in whatever you're going through, whatever's happening, to prove to you that the friendship is unbreakable. And then, he extends this unbelievable invitation. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? At this point, they know. It's not some casual guy on the shoreline. They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. It's an unbelievable invitation. That through all of the heartache and all of the betrayal and all the abandonment and all the times that you and I don't know if you count your denials of Christ in 1, 2, 3 like Peter did, or you count it in weeks and months and years and decades where you haven't been running towards him. The invitation's the same. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to me that Jesus would say to us time and time again, come to this table, share a meal with me. But it's for us today. It's for you and me. In just a moment, we're going to take communion together as a church. And this is the moment. This is the invitation. This is the time. Come to the table of God again and experience this invitation full of grace and full of forgiveness. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that every single time you mess up, God says, come again. Come again. Hopefully on the way in today, you receive the elements of communion. I'm going to invite the campus pastors back to the stage at this point. Let me invite you to just get the elements ready. The Bible reminds us that when we come together as a church, as we share communion together, as we say yes to the invitation, if you've never said yes to that invitation, let me encourage you to do that today. It's a great season to do it. But before we do, let's take a moment, make sure our hearts are right before God. Scripture tells us to take a moment and reflect. Take a moment and accept this forgiveness and this freedom that we have at the table of God today.
If you enjoyed the podcast, we encourage you to follow, share it with friends and family, or let us know by tagging us at New Hope Church TV on social media. We would love to connect with you. Thanks for listening.